Well, we want to welcome you back to This Week in the Association. I'm Rob Pannier, joined once again by my good buddy Kevin Lucco. And this week we are honored to welcome back the voice of the Cleburne Railroaders, Brad Allred. Brad, welcome back to the show.
Gentlemen, it is a pleasure to be with you. And off-season, well, do I even call it an off-season? It's not technically an off-season for the association, but it's a season in which not a lot going on southward towards Cleburne. So it's been interesting to take a seat as a spectator and see how all this plays out.
Well, I got to tell you, baseball is just not the same in the American Association without Brad Allred calling some games. So this is going to be a little difficult for you.
Well, I do appreciate that. And I can tell you, Denning and I often talk about how we are just jonesing. We are ready to get back in the booth and get after it in 2021. And every day that goes by is a day closer, but it's a day that we watch American Association games and wish we were able to participate.
I do have to say I miss, you know, on a regular night in the association, I usually pop around and try to catch all the games and listen to everything that's going on. And, I mean, you guys are regulars on my rotation. It just seems like there's just a little something missing without hearing you, well, Denning down in Cleburne and Dan and Casey and Michael in Nebraska, Connor and Sioux City. It's just, yeah, there's a little emptiness this year.
Well, I tell you, the emptiness can also be found in my wallet because these nights of not being able to call baseball has gotten very expensive on the golf course because Lincoln's own Michael Dixon has been beating the brakes off of me for months now. And, of course, we cannot play around without there being a, quote, air quote here, friendly wager of sorts. And those wagers usually go the way of Mr. Dixon. So emptiness can also be found in my wallet these days.
You need to find an air quote friendly or handicap to use when you're
That's the sad situation, Kevin, is I'm being afforded a handicap, but what most might not know is there's some talented golf casters or broadcasters that are talented on the golf course and Michael Dixon, Texas, Tim Costello, another. But yeah, Dixon he affords me that handicap and he's still finds one way or another to squeeze out a win on most afternoons.
Well, we're gonna have to figure out some way to help you to cheat, and that's just what it sounds like.
You know what? Maybe I've got to resort to that, Rob. Maybe you have a point. I like to consider myself. People can call me a lot of different things, but I try to be honest. That's just something that was set in me as a young guy, and maybe I do. Maybe I need to turn the page and resort to some cheating, maybe fluffing up my ball at times, not getting the greatest of lies. I don't know. I got to do something because I've yet to get the best of Mr. Dixon.
Well, it's the classic heel line. Win if you can, lose if you must, but always cheat.
That's right. That's right. If you aren't cheating, you're not trying. So maybe I've got to turn to that. Maybe I'll go to the old Eddie Guerrero, pay homage to the late, great Eddie Guerrero, and try to lie, cheat, and steal on the course next time I find myself on it with Mr. Dixon.
Well, what do you find yourself doing? I know you've been involved. You and Denning have both done some stuff to keep Railroader stuff in the headlines. So talk a little bit about what's going on down there with you guys.
Well, there's just not a lot. We had some college games, some summer league games for some folks that, you know, would normally go to the Northwoods or go to, you know, Cape Cod or whatever summer leagues that weren't being played. They had a gathering of Division I kids, mainly from the South, that were gathering on Mondays and Tuesdays and playing at the Depot. And there was some really good baseball. Mason Greer, Rusty Greer's son, he plays at Auburn. He participated amongst some others. And we had some good baseball down there for a handful of weeks, and then some high school select tournaments have been at the Depot. So there's been a little bit of baseball, but selfishly, I got to tell you, it's not Cleburne Railroader baseball, so it just didn't quench the thirst for me. So what I've been doing to occupy my time, and I can't do it all the time because it just still pulls on the heartstrings a bit too much. I can't indulge in American Association baseball every night, but I do check in on our guys, our Railroaders, to keep up with kind of how they're doing and just some of the things going on, and some former Railroaders. So enough to keep me informed, I guess you could say. But you know what? It's been good. In fact, I would dare say it's been better than what I thought it would be, just in terms of I guess I just thought early on with only six teams and with no one else playing, I thought there would be some continuity issues with teams in terms of trying to build rapport with one another, because I felt like that the roster moves would just be astronomical in terms of guys in, guys out. And but I've kind of been pleasantly surprised. And I tell you what, I still say, you know, as we're approaching the halfway mark here, I still say that you know what, it's still up in the air. I don't think there's two teams that are locked in. I really like what I've seen. I tell you what, I really like what I've seen out of Winnipeg. Winnipeg has really, really impressed me a lot. No surprise there. Rick Forney knows what he's doing. He can put together good ball clubs, and I think he's definitely done that with the Goldeyes. I love what I see out of Sioux Falls. I tell you what, find me, in the American Association, find me a better hitter than Ale Lago. That guy is just, it's like it's coming in like beach balls for him, and it just really gears me up to see him in a Cleburne uniform. I really like what I've seen out of Lago. Don't sleep on St. Paul. Obviously, the pedigree there speaks for itself. But all in all, and I'll tell you what, I know they haven't performed well, but I still look on paper, and you know what? I still see a talented Fargo-Moorhead team. I know they haven't shown it yet, but, you know, I still see a lot of talent in that squad. So it's going to be a fun month-long stretch, or however long they've got left, and until we determine the final two that want to duke it out for the top of the mountain. But it's been fun. It's been entertaining.
Do you guys have a nickname for Zach Narrier down in Cleburne? Because if you don't, I think I got one for him.
Jordan, no, we don't. We need one. What do you got?
I think you have a nickname in Sports Center.
I tell you what, I mean, it seems like he's on it every other night.
Oh, no doubt.
It's insane. The kid, you know, we always knew the defensive pedigree. In fact, when you talk with our general manager, Josh Robertson, that's as good and as dangerous as Zach Narrier can be offensively at times. When you hear Josh talk about Zach Narrier, the first thing that he wants to talk about is the quality of his defense. And he's just got a rocket arm. He is everything you want in a center fielder. I like what Milwaukee has done and putting him in right field primarily with the strength of his arm. I think that's obviously paid dividends so far with as many outstanding plays as you've seen from Zach at this point of the year. But he's just one of those guys, when you look across the landscape of the American Association, just one of the more fun players to watch.
You know, I have to ask you, Brad, because it's been kind of a mixed bag for Cleburne guys. Blake Grant Parks, I know, is a favorite of yours, released a couple weeks ago, and Chase Simpson's having trouble getting back on the field. Tyler Wilson's kind of working himself in, but, you know, Zach is playing well. And so who's really kind of stood out for you of Cleburne guys out there, besides Ale Lago, obviously?
Right, Ale Lago's been fantastic. I'll tell you what, I'll tell you some guys that don't really fit the realm of what you're asking, but do have Cleburne ties. I really like, for the most part, what I've seen from former Cleburne Railroader, DJ Shirabi in that Sioux Falls pen. DJ's got all the talent in the world. Love to see him succeed. And he came out like gangbusters early on for them in that seventh inning role. He's been good. Former Railroader Logan Trowbridge, how about the work he's been doing?
Absolutely.
At the bottom of that Milkman lineup and forcing his way into the lineup every day. Very similar situation that he found himself in with Cleburne in 2019, just forcing Brent Cleveland to put his name on the lineup card somewhere because of his performance and his versatility. He's been very good.
He hit cleanup yesterday.
Yeah, I mean, just unreal. BGP, I was a little startled. You know, I was a little surprised at that. Now, I think that he kind of fell victim to a 6-team league, quite frankly, because of the quality of players that are sitting at home right now that are accessible to teams. I think BGP felt kind of victim to that, combined with the fact that he never got – there was never any continuity. There was never any fluidity in him offensively just because he wasn't having that opportunity to play every day. He jumps out there in his first at-bat as a Red Hawk and blasts one to left. BGP can definitely swing the bat. And BGP, you're going to see a lot more of BGP in Cleveland and in the American Association. He will be BGP will be back in no later than 2021 and doing big things. And Chase, unfortunate with Chase. You know, he's had that ear issue and had some problems. Has had some problems with that and just can't get healthy, right? Just can't get healthy to get out there, which is the same issue Tyler Wilson had on early on. He's trying to work some things out, but we all know with Tyler, I mean, with that arm, I mean, he's going to be back and back into regular form in no time. But all in all, I think when you look across the landscape of the American Association, it's even though there's just 6 teams, there's just more talent than ever, and with the 60-game reduced schedule, you know, some of these managers in front offices, you just can't afford guys time that fall into small ruts and small slumps, because in a 60-game season, there's just so much at stake and every night is so important. So I kind of understand it from both aspects, being the player and then the team in terms of making the decision. But I think for the fan, they're getting some pretty darn good baseball every night.
I think we'd be remiss if we didn't mention John Nestor.
I mean, John Nestor. I mean, what you know, we could spend all night talking about John. One of my favorite guys on and off the field, deserves every bit of success that he finds. It's very well deserving. He is the guy that you want in your clubhouse, particularly around young players, because he's going to show them not just how to play the game and respect the game, but how to carry yourself off the field and your regiment, your work ethic. There's so many intangibles that John Nestor brings to the table that you won't find in a box score. One of my favorite guys, fits so well, in my opinion, fits so well into a Rick Forney type system and in that lineup. And look at it. I mean, Winnipeg's reaping dividends. They're swinging it, man. They're swinging the sticks well, and John Nestor's been a big part of that.
Yeah, we were kind of wondering what was going to happen with him and Roy Morales both in the fold in Winnipeg. Morales could get at bats.
Dan Vaughn and I had discussions on that once the dispersal draft took place. We're like, my goodness, you know, on paper early on, are you flipping coins each day, or is John going to see some time at first base, or are they going to flip-flop out with DH and behind the plate because they're both so good at both aspects of the game? And, of course, you know, they made the move and sent Roy, you know, away in a trade. But Winnipeg is, you know, you got to be happy with the production that the very last pick in the draft has given you in John Nestor. And I have fun with him, joking with him from time to time, that he's been the last pick of the draft, and you know, trying to take a little shots at the ego there, just friendly jokes back and forth. But no, John's one of my favorites, and that's never going to change.
So yeah, I think the last thing you could call him is Mr. Orwell.
Yeah, I was going to ask that. Is that him?
Right. No, I wouldn't use those words as irrelevant, but I have made funny jabs to him about being that last pick, but. He's producing just fine, considering.
Yeah, making a huge difference. Because boy, great to catch that pitching staff he's got there too.
Oh, he's just you know, you could talk with any pitcher that has had the luxury of having being caught by John Nestor, whether it be Wichita or Cleveland. And I mean, just look at what he did with guys like Jesus Sanchez from last year for us. I mean. Sanchi went from a, you know, in 2018, being a middle relief guy to being our opening day front end starter, all star. You know, we don't have the 2019 that we had without Jesus Sanchez, and John Nestor is just such a huge part of that.
Well, I have to ask you, Brad. In the off season, I know you get a little wrestling time in. Is that going to be happening this year, or social distancing stand in the way?
No, we're hoping. I haven't. The promotion that I work with, Lucha Brutal, we have not, because of the pandemic, we have not ran yet. We have not had a show. We are having talks right now in terms of our when we're going to start back up, probably targeting the end of the year or very, very early 2021. But, guys, I feel like I'm sitting on the hands here, just not a lot to do. And, you know, the honeydews at the house, the whole list has darn near been knocked out. And, you know, from some additions to the backyard, we put a bar back there, a fire pit next to the swimming pool, put a couple of big screen TVs up, mounted up on the walls. We put in a full-size bed swing in front of one of them with a fan there above it. So my wallet, between that and golf with Michael Dixon, my wallet, it can't take anymore.
You know, Kevin, I got to ask, why are we not doing this show from Brad's backyard? What happened there, man?
We can do that. Hey, you guys come down anytime. We can absolutely do that.
Well, I was on Dan's virtual happy hour, and I thought the thermometer said 99, so.
Yeah, that might be it.
Right.
Good point. We might be actually doing it in the pool.
Yeah, it'd be a little warm, but if we wanted to stay dry, we've got three fans out there on the back patio. We've got the pool as well. So we've got room to get it done. But, yeah, you guys come down anytime.
And I know one of your other talents is putting a few wagers on games. And what do you think of the news today that the Big Ten football season has already been canceled? And I can see that spreading out all of college football before it's over.
Rumor is Big 12 and Pac-12 will be following suit tomorrow. You know what? I'll say this from just, and this is just my opinion, and just from a sports perspective, there's so many tragedies in that from so many different aspects, from the student athlete to just the college student in general to players that it could potentially affect their draft status. I just don't get the move. I don't understand the move. I'm not saying that precautions shouldn't be taken. I'm not saying to disregard safety, but I've got to believe that there is a way to still play those games. And the fact that they're not doing it really surprises me. I mean, when you look at what the NFL, the stance the NFL has taken, I mean, I don't think it would matter if 60 million people had COVID. The NFL is going to play from day one, and it's not going to – now, they might be playing in empty stadiums, but they're going to play. It's going to be business as usual for the National Football League, and I understand that it's – you know, it's a worldwide – even though it's an American game, it's a worldwide entity. It is a – it's a massive, massive business with so many dollars, more than the three of us could count. That are on the line, but I just felt like college football with the pageantry, with the money that's made there, and the money, quite frankly, that's depended on for university athletics as a whole. I mean, you have to think past football and how those other sports are funded through football, and for all that to come to pass, it scares me a bit. When those decisions roll downhill in terms of how it's going to affect other collegiate sports, other collegiate athletes. To me, it's just not a good situation to be in.
When you think about it, it rolls all the way down to just the students in general too. I have a college gal working for me and we're talking about with a couple sales reps today. I said, I just got to allow myself, well, you know, they can just raise the tuition and make up for that money.
Absolutely.
It shoots me a glance like, yeah, I just have a lot of money to throw.
Right. It's scary, and it's, obviously we're in a situation that no one's been in, and we don't, no one has the right decision, but I just, I don't know, when it comes to sports, I really like what the NBA's done, what the NHL has done. Baseball's obviously had their issues with not having that bubble, but they're handling it the best as they can. I think you could look at, I mean, how can you not be proud with what the American Association has done and how they've kept people safe? There hasn't been a rampant number of, you know, COVID incidents, and they've shown a model. They've shown a model that works, and I just wish that rather than the knee-jerk reaction in college football just to call it a season, I really wish that there would have been more effort into at least attempting to try to get those games played.
I find it kind of interesting that there could be a spring season, but you try that spring season up here in the north, and that could get a little dicey.
Yeah, I just don't see how that can. I just don't see how. I'm not calling it, you know, 0% chance, but I just don't see how that works out.
Well, Brad, I have to ask you, as you've kind of watched some games here in the American Association, if you had to pick right now, who would be your two playoff teams?
Oh, man. With the unpredictability of rosters and moves that could be made down the stretch, I will preface it by saying this. Even though we all three know this won't be the way that it ends up, as the rosters are constructed today, as of right now, you know what? I'm probably going to surprise you here. Give me Winnipeg, and somehow, some way, Milwaukee finds a way.
I don't find that hard to believe at all.
Give me Winnipeg, Milwaukee. Now, if moves can be made, if Sioux Falls can go find a couple of arms that could really be difference makers down the stretch. Offensively, I love what Sioux Falls brings to the table. But the Canaries, just like any other team, you just cannot depend on winning 10-9, 13-12 ball games every time. It's too taxing on your staff. It's so much pressure on your lineup. You just can't expect that each and every night. So give me, you know, it's great, and I've enjoyed watching the Canaries, but and as great as they've been, give me a – I think in the end, when the smoke clears, give me Winnipeg and Milwaukee.
Especially if Sensen comes back.
And then it's Nestor and Narrier and Chase and you know, former railroader Logan Trowbridge, and then they're battling it out, and then I can send them group text messages and have a little fun prodding at every one of them. I win.
That's what it's all about. And that's what the season's about is.
Oh, absolutely. In a season that I'm not able to be included in, absolutely, Rob, it's all about them. Mark the tape. Yeah, mark the tape.
Well, I can tell you a way you can be, that the Railroaders can be included. I don't know if you saw my picture from last Saturday night from tailgating.
I did, when you were in the T-Bones jersey on...
Yes, I did. I will gladly wear a Roaders jersey. If you can send one up here,
yeah,
I will wear a Cleburne Railroaders jersey tailgating. There's going to be like three more chances for me to do it this summer. I will wear that and send pictures back to you.
Let me work on that.
Yeah, I got to tell Josh.
I might be able to make that happen.
I'm going to get Josh to get us jerseys. He already should have some for us.
Well, no, that's what I'll do. I'll go steal Josh's jersey out of his office and he has all three, Kevin. So you take your pick. Do you want the road gray? Do you want the home white, or do you want the alternate pullover orange?
Well, I think the orange would make me, I don't know, just think of a large orange object, Joe.
pumpkin, like a pumpkin. Yeah.
Yeah. Gray is slimming, and white stands too easily. So I think gray would probably be the best option.
The road gray. All right, I'm gonna go swipe it out of his office.
Now, if you have it in mascot size.
We'll see. I'll work on that. I will work on that. Let me see what I can do.
This portion of the show edited out for Kevin and Brad's safety.
Right.
Well, you know, Brad can only spend 30 minutes with us tonight because he's got other stuff going on, which I can't believe other than this. That just startles me. But we want to send Brad out by letting him give us an incredible final thought. And so, Brad, take us out tonight.
Well, as brief of a time as I have tonight, I appreciate you guys affording me an opportunity to spend it with you. Excellent coverage, as always, that you guys provide for this league. I don't think you get near enough kudos for your work. If it does end up being Milwaukee and Winnipeg battling it out for the championship, you can message me on Twitter at Zebrada, TheBrada, and I will get you an address to send checks. As I do accept monetary gifts for my correct picks. But no, in all seriousness, you guys are doing a fantastic job. I think it's going to be a fun run here towards the end. And as it gets closer, you know, I said I'm not able to watch full games, but as it gets closer, I'll definitely be dialed in as we get to playoff races there at the end. But you guys keep up the great work that you're doing. And I look very much forward to 2021 where we can specifically talk Cleveland Railroad baseball.
Amen.
We're looking forward to that, too. Brad, thanks for joining us here tonight.
Appreciate you guys.
Well, we want to thank Brad Alward for joining Kevin and I again tonight. But Kevin and I, as we've done the last few weeks, are going to continue around the American Association. And we're going to begin by talking a little bit about the Player of the Week and Pitcher of the Week. Both the league and us here at This Week in the Association agreed that Logan Trowbridge from the Milwaukee Milkmen made for the perfect pick. Kevin, you know, not huge numbers, but well-rounded numbers and really well-deserving.
Yeah, he did. He did earn it. I mean, you know, he had the extra statistic going for him that gave me or not being a former Wichita wingnut. So
that really didn't have anything to do with it. But we did like the fact of had a few stolen bases. His 7 RBI actually was tied for the league lead during the week, and his 6 runs scored was the league leader, which is kind of – I guess we were kind of getting spoiled by Chicago dog numbers over the last few weeks. And so I don't mean to downplay Logan's numbers at all. It's just Chicago kind of changed the complexity of this week in the association's picks each week. Ryan Kuschmal had an outstanding start against the Sioux Falls Canaries, striking out 10, giving up one unearned run in 7 innings, and he was chosen as the pitcher of the week this week, Kevin.
Yeah, well earned. You know, Kuschmal struggled to start the season, and there were some doubts as to whether he was going to be able to be a starter in this league, but he's righted the ship and has become a valuable piece of the Milkman rotation.
Yeah, let's talk about that a little bit, Kevin, because early on, you know, he was the number 5 guy kind of coming out of the start of the season there for them. And it was that difficult start out. You know, I have to tell you, honestly, I was kind of thinking, everybody's kind of working themselves back in. But, you know, Ryan's in his early 30s. And I thought, well, maybe this is kind of time has passed him. But, boy, he sure has, you know, looked like the Ryan Kuschmal we came to know a few years ago.
Right, and it's not an easy adjustment. And you've seen so many times where starters become very good relievers, but not too often do you see someone that's spent extended time in the bullpen emerge as a starter. So kudos for him for getting his game going.
The league choosing Jake Zocon from Sioux Falls as their pitcher of the week. Really no argument on that. He made 2 quality starts for the team and did a fine job for them. So congratulations to Jake out there. Before we kind of jump in and talk about going around the league, Kevin got to go out and enjoy baseball at CHS Field. And I wanted to, can we talk a little bit about what that experience was like for you with St. Paul open back up and getting to see a game there in front of 1,800 or whatever the capacity they were allowing for?
No.
It's out.
It was I have to say it was a different experience. I want to preface this because it may sound like a lot of negatives coming from me, but I want to preface this by I know how hard the Saints have worked to get, first of all, get any approval from this state to host games, and with all the stuff they've had to do to make where they could bring fans in, that's been a ton of work to start with. Then they haven't had time to really put a promotional schedule or market games. You know, it's kind of a fly in my seat of the pants when it comes to promotional stuff right now, but they do have some entertainers out there, and, you know, if you look around and don't focus on what looks like a playoff crowd of about 1,500 people, if you look on the field and you look the product on the field and the stuff between innings, if you focus on that, it's the Saints experience. And if, you know, a lot of us were down, then we're going to see any games this year, but they managed to make it work, and the response has been good. I look around, and people are cooperating with the mandates that the Saints have set up. And there, you know, there's things that aren't there. The craft beer corner that was popular with fans isn't there, obviously. The food selection at the stands are limited. No beer vendors work in the aisles. So it's all these little things, you look around and like, oh yeah, oh, shoot, they're not doing that this year. Or they're not doing this. And one of them, I think the Saints relievers were probably a little disappointed with that. They're not utilizing the bullpen car this year.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah, no kidding. Well, apparently they also, the people that sponsored it, weren't back on board as a sponsor. So
okay.
So I was sitting upstairs talking with Tom Whaley about it the other night. I said, well, you know, I have to check with Rob Kinnear and see how much money's in the this week in the association budget so that we could sponsor the bullpen car.
We might have to do that for next year. So as little dings and nicks you and I have had over the last few years, maybe we are kind of a walking ambulance in some ways or another. So it might be kind of a good thing for us to be the sponsor. Yeah, Kevin, I do want to say is that it looks like being able to come home has had a really positive effect on this team, taking the last victory over Winnipeg before they came back to CH's Field and then winning two games against Fargo late and then taking two out of three from Sioux Falls. So 5-2 in the last seven games for St. Paul. All of a sudden, they find themselves back in the race.
And I think that's the key thing, too, is that they're winning games late. Tuesday, Wednesday, it almost seemed like it was the playoffs from last year all over again, where a Fargo miscue gave the Saints an opportunity to take the game, and they took advantage of it on Tuesday night and Wednesday night. And, you know, the way that ballpark is, we were talking about this upstairs the other night, even if you only have 1,500 people in, the way the park is acoustically, if that's a word, it holds the noise in really well. So you may only have 1,500 people in there, but it does sound loud. So, and I imagine that's got to get the players going, even with a minimal crowd there. So, you know, it's going to be an advantage for the Saints going down the road here.
You know, I did want to comment that about the Saints that Sean Aronson brought up an interesting point during, I think it was Tuesday night's game, and he was talking about Mikey Reynolds when he was hitting 400. And I feel bad for Mikey. I this isn't a story to downplay what's going on with him, but it's kind of a little, we're not the only hexes, I guess, is what I'm trying to get to. They were talking about it. He said a Pioneer Press reporter had come out to talk to Mikey when he was hitting about 413 and was talking to him about hitting 400. And since then, he's had one hit or like the next six or seven games or something like that. Now the batting average down to 336. So, Kevin, we're not the only people cursing somebody.
No. He's righted the ship a bit. He's had a few good games in the last week. But, yeah, he did have a pretty good slide for like about a week's worth of games. And, you know, the interesting point, it's kind of been odd so far at DHS Field. you know, the Saints have had some pretty good sluggers there the last couple of years, the Brady Shoemakers, Burt Reynolds when he was going good. But until late in the game on Sunday, the Saints were out-homered at CHS Field for that homestand 9-0. Well, then finally Josh Allen connects for a solo in the seventh, and Alonzo Harris hits one in the eighth. And so it made it 9-2, but yeah, I thought it was kind of interesting that a team notorious for hitting a lot of home runs in their own ballpark, just they weren't doing it, and their opponents seemed a lot more comfortable.
Well, let's shift out of St. Paul and head to the Winnipeg Goldeyes, who are still first in the American Association right now. Only got in 3 games this week because of a kind of a scheduling conflict that was going on there in Fargo, so they had the weekend off, and then Sunday's game was rained out. You and I talked a little bit before the show began about how that layoff may affect Winnipeg, and what's kind of your thoughts on that, Kevin?
Yeah, well, it can go either way. I felt like Winnipeg was reeling a bit. They lost that final game against St. Paul, so they lost 4 in a row after getting swept by Chicago in Fargo. So maybe 4 days to sit around and kind of recharge your batteries. Well, it ended up being 4 days because of the rain out. Originally, it was just going to be 3 or 4 days off. So maybe that rest allows them to recharge batteries, but then there's, it's like I think we talked about before, is it going to be rest or rust when they come back?
Yeah, this was a team that was 18-9, and it looked, almost unbeatable, and then all of a sudden Chicago, kind of handled business against them, and now you come out of this little mini break with a 4-game losing streak, and so it's going to be interesting what Rick Forney does with that. Fortunately for them, I think, and I don't mean to sound belittling in any way, but they open back up this second half here with Fargo, and who they've just dominated this year. So they got to feel still, pretty good about where they're at, I would gather.
Right. They could do a lot for their confidence, but boy, I tell you what, if they stumble against Fargo, they're going to start questioning themselves. So. And I think, I believe that's going to be a 4-game series. I believe they're doing a doubleheader tomorrow night. So, 4 games in 3 days, that's, in a 60-game season, that's a little bit of a stretch there. So, boy, you lose 3 out of 4 there, and you could see a reeling Winnipeg club.
Absolutely. I will be up there for Thursday night's game, as a matter of fact. So, the Milwaukee Milkmen, the hottest team in the American Association at 7-3 in their last 10 games, have moved to just a game behind Winnipeg. And the hitting still hasn't become everything that we thought looking at that lineup at the start of the season, but it looks like it is formulating and they're getting the key hits when they need them.
Right. Kind of like what we were just talking about St. Paul. Milwaukee's winning some games late in that late run. And with as good as their bullpen has been, if you get that lead late, the pen's going to hold it. So 5-2 homestand for the Milkmen against Sioux Falls, which allowed them to pass Sioux Falls and allow them to get a little bit of a distance from themselves and Chicago. And as you know, right now, Milwaukee's in that coveted playoff spot.
Milwaukee, when I looked at this team for a while, Kevin, it was like right around 500. So they would be 13-12, and then all of a sudden 13-13, or they'd be 11-12, and then win and be at 11-11 or 12-12 or something. And all of a sudden they finally come together, and it reminded me kind of what we saw in St. Paul last year, where the team was, okay, but really wasn't doing what we thought that team was going to be like. And now all of a sudden Milwaukee looks like they've caught something now that's really kind of catapulted them.
And really, they're, like you said, there's still even room for improvement. I mean, they went out and got a couple of big name pitchers with Henderson Alvarez and Drew Hutchinson. But you were talking with Brad about Zach Naryer and how great he's been in the field, but we haven't seen the Zach Naryer at the plate that we saw in Cleburne last year. So, I mean, there's still room for him to get going. And boy, I tell you what, you get Naryer hot, and I mean, you throw Dylan Tyson in that mix also. because we've seen Tice has like a 300-plus hitter in Kansas City, and right now Milwaukee, as I'm trying to roll the stats here, Tice is hitting 252. That's just not doing Tice-like numbers. So if you get those guys playing up to potential, if you get Jose Sermo some more at-bats, and we've seen what Sermo can do in this league, boy, if you get that offense going and the pitching solidifies like you think it would, yeah, Milwaukee's going to be a dangerous team, and that's not a bad prediction Brad made. I think those Milwaukee-Chicago games down the stretch are going to be real fun to watch.
You know, if we can sidebar out of this for just a moment, talking about Drew Hutchinson, I find kind of fascinating about this season, Kevin, is that the amount of former major leaguers that are just kind of interspersing themselves in as the season goes, it's like a team needs a new pitcher all of a sudden, and here's your former major leaguer out there. Tyler Danish came over there in Sioux Falls, and we've seen a few of these guys come out of here. It's amazing to me that not only did they start the league this season with such incredible talent, but the talent that's coming in right now is really something.
Right. I guess that would be your perk of being the only league that's running as an actual league this year, not just these little pickup teams where you make up a few teams and have one host team. I mean, it's a legit baseball league that's being ran, and players see that, they notice it, and they want to be part of it.
Sioux Falls goes 4-6 over the last 10 games. They dropped to third in the American Association, a half game behind Milwaukee and a game and a half behind Winnipeg. But, you know, this is a team right now that I think, Kevin, every week what we're going to be saying is it's all going to be depending on that starting pitching. And Mike Meyer talked with me last week about some injuries in the starting staff and how he's trying to work with that. But this is going to be what we're talking about. If they can get their starting pitching together, this is a playoff team. If not, it's going to be trouble.
Right. They, you know, in St. Paul, they got a couple really good starts. Zolkin went 5 innings, but Tyler Herron went pitch to pitch with Mike Devine on Friday night. It probably deserved a win out of it. But, yeah, I made the claim that Ryan Fritzie's got to be your closer, but so far that move has not yet been made. And we saw Fritzie pitch in the 8th inning on Sunday night, so it's going to be interesting to see how Mike Meyer works his bullpen going down the stretch here. If with a little rest, is Keaton Steele going to still be your guy at the end, or is his job tenuous? What are all the other roles? I mean, Nico Plank could be a valuable arm out there. Brad was talking about DJ Schirabi. Yeah, I think they're, especially in that ballpark, you got to have a deep pitching staff. So, got to be all hands on deck, and guys are going to have to produce.
You know, and not to be critical of Mike in any way, you know, I've known him for quite a while now and have a lot of respect for the job he's doing. But I got to honestly say, though, is that if the team falls a couple of games short of making the playoffs this season and Steele doesn't really rebound, this is going to be the reason, and people are going to be talking about, did you just want to rely on this guy because, you know, he was your guy, or did he earn that spot after a little bit? So it's going to be interesting to see how Steele responds, and can he, you know, bolster his manager's confidence in him?
Right, and I mean, Steele came out of the gates like gangbusters, closing games back and forth every which way, but I just think he got a little overused, and which obviously is a result of a lot of tight ball games too. So, but yeah, it's, we saw with Steele last year, he had a really good beginning of the season and faded at the end. We're kind of seeing this year a little bit of last year, but you know, there's still time for him to bounce back, and I believe Meyer's done a good job of getting him rested up. So we'll see what happens down the stretch, but if you can get the Keaton Steele you had for the first part of the year where he was saving a ton of games, and Fritzy and Nico Blank are your valuable 7th, 8th inning guys along with DJ Schirabi, they'll be all right. But boy, if you go into a tie game in the seventh, and you're not too sure on your bullpen. It's just it's tough mentally as much as it is on the scoreboard to get a win.
We move on to the Chicago Dogs, who fall to fourth in the American Association at 16-16, 2.5 out. Kevin, last week, this was the team that just looked absolutely unstoppable, and they were just battering teams after a huge series against Sioux Falls and looked like they were just unstoppable. But the Milwaukee Milkmen had a different answer for them, it looked like, this last weekend.
And I think Milwaukee may have caught them at the right time, because you look at their road trip. They played a really late game against Winnipeg and then had to play in Sioux Falls for the weekend. I mean, the Friday night game, if you remember, talked about it last week, where they had an insane 10-run rally to tie the game and end up losing in extra innings. But after that, they rattled off 5 wins in a row. But what we've seen with teams a lot of times, when you got like a 3-stop road trip, that last series is really tough. And I think we may have saw it take a toll a bit on the Dogs this weekend in Milwaukee.
Well, it's nice comfort to a team, I would think, when you can lose 3 out of 4 in Milwaukee and still find yourself right in the thick of the playoff race.
And how good has Victor Roach been? I mean, we talked about what was going to happen with him without the protection of Keon Barnum in that lineup. And he's answered by having 13 home runs and 27 RBIs in 32 games.
12 homers in the last 19 games, even. I mean, this guy is just absolutely insanely hot right now. And, you know, and I think that something needs to be said about the great job that Butch Hobson did in getting him back in his rhythm, because, you know, he was in that number 4, number 5 spot in the batting order, and Hobson, realizing that he was struggling, stuck him down at the number 8, let him, took the pressure off of him, let him just kind of get his swing back, and boy, it's sure working for him.
Right, I believe he was hitting 6th yesterday, but, you know, he's had a little protection in that lineup, too, with Tyler Ladendorf and Joey
Turdoslovich, I think it is.
Turdoslovich, yeah. I knew the first time I was going to have to actually physically pronounce that last name, I knew I was going to butcher it or bite a hole in my tongue or something. But, you know, yeah, he's got protection in the lineup, too. That maybe it's not Keon Barnum-like, but it's there, so.
Now he's the protection for other guys
right,
in the lineup there.
Right,
so,
right.
For sure. So we close out with Fargo. We can kind of talk about the reverse about them, Kevin. 11-20, 7 games out. This is a team desperately in need of a huge week this week. They get the big 4 days off. So is that a 4 days off that helps this team to recharge itself, or have they had 4 days to think, man, we're in a lot of trouble?
I think they had a big win on Thursday night. And if you look at Fargo, it's the bats that have to get going. And we know the resume is there, but if you look at their starting rotation right now, it's not as bad as people think it is.
And they get Braden Higgins back, too.
Yeah, you got Braden Higgins back. John Anderson has pitched really well in the games I've seen him pitch. Tyler Pike looked unhittable in St. Paul. Ryan Williams has been good. And Matt Tomshaw, I mean, the Saints didn't have an answer for him last Thursday night. So they have a very good starting rotation, but the back end has been a mess when Tyler Wilson's still trying to get himself righted up, and your closer's got a ERA of 6.5. So if you get to the Fargo pen, that's when it seems like the trouble is starting up. But the starters themselves have been excellent, and boy, I would put those 4 guys up against anyone else in the league as far as a rotation.
And we anticipated them having a quality starting staff this season when the season began. It's just the bullpen has really not materialized as they were hoping, and we've seen a number of guys who had impressive resumes over the past few years who really have struggled down there for them, and that's got to be a real struggle for Chris Coase to try to figure out who he can rely on every night.
Right, it's not like you can just go out and find guys. I mean, he's got to kind of ride who he's got right now. And like you said, they have the resume to do good things there, but it's just a matter of executing, and that's not happening right now.
While we are on Fargo, Kevin and I want to talk about a little change in the schedule out there. The Winnipeg Gold Eyes were using Fargo as their home hub during this season, but I think 9 of their total games have been moved to the cities where they were playing those teams. So 3 have been moved to St. Paul, 6 have moved to Milwaukee. Not exactly sure what the dynamic of this is, but you know, obviously extremely beneficial for St. Paul and Milwaukee.
Yes, it is. Yes and no. I attended a St. Paul Winnipeg game in Fargo, actually a doubleheader, and they played in front of maybe like 60 people, and it's just not a good atmosphere for either team. I know nobody in the league is drawing. Well, they're not allowed to draw what they would normally would, but I think for Winnipeg, this isn't a bad deal like people might think it is, because I use the hockey mentality to it that it's fun to go on the road and try to shut up the home crowd. Right now in Fargo, you got nobody cheering or booing you. Sometimes if you come in as an enemy, that's the motivation right there, is to win in order to silence the home crowd. And just for... You know, it's a lot more atmosphere when you got people in the stands too. And after a long year like Winnipeg has had on the road, you know, it might be nicer to have some extra games where it'll feel more like a regular baseball crowd as opposed to playing in front of family and friends.
That's an excellent point. Well, let's jump out to talk around things going on around independent baseball and the American Association in particular. Let's first of all start with, we want to give a little shout out there to Tyler Matzik. Last year pitched for the Texas Air Hogs, but won his second victory of the season yesterday, for the Atlanta Braves. So congratulations to Tyler. The guy always had great stuff, so it was kind of surprising that he wasn't already back in major leagues.
Yeah, good to see him. The way this year has been in Major League Baseball, where it's just so easy to pluck guys out of your taxi squad and plug them in and give them a chance to do some good things. It's good to see a success story like a Tyler Matzik.
We also wanted to give a little recognition to a good friend of the show, Baseball Brit, Joey Mellows out there, who was, his image was one of the cardboard cutouts that a team had at behind home plate this weekend. So, you know, he's got a name for himself out there in the majors, Kevin.
You know, being up here in Minnesota, people are all in an uproar about the Twins getting swept down in Kansas City. And I said, hey, when you got a guy like Baseball Brit there, when you have cardboard Baseball Brit behind home plate rooting his Royals on, you're going to be hard-pressed to come out of Kauffman Stadium with a win. So, there you go.
That's exactly right. And we also learned this week that Minnesota, among other states, is not the only one that is a little out of control with their dictatorial policies towards baseball, as the Washington Wild Things learned, Kevin.
Yeah, it just came out on Monday afternoon that their little 14 cluster league that had been following Pennsylvania regulations to a T, and even more so, was informed that by the police that they will no longer be able to play their games or complete their season, which was going to be the playoffs coming up next weekend. No real reason has been publicly given yet, but yeah, the Democratic governor of Pennsylvania seems to not be too keen on baseball being played in front of crowds.
Well, I guess the only fun you're allowed to have, Kevin, is burning down and looting. That's the only fun allowed.
Yeah, I guess they call it a protest. you can protest in baseball. You can protest calls and protest games.
Exactly. Yeah, that's right. And
baseball's a protest.
That's right. That's what we need to say. I'm with you on that one right there. Kevin, we're excited because the 2020 unveiling of the American Association Power Rankings comes forward. So let's hear our great rankings for this week.
Yeah, Power Rankings brought to you by Rocks and Cowles Baseball, otherwise known as Minnesota Amateur Baseball. Number six will be the Fargo-Moorhead Redhawks with 15 points. Sioux Falls comes in fifth with 21. St. Paul, number four with 22, tied with Chicago, gets a slight edge, but also has 22. With 23 points are the Winnipeg Gold Eyes, and taking the number one spot are the Milwaukee Milkmen with 25. So you can see it's really clustered between first and fifth. So I think that kind of mirrors what we're looking at with the league right now.
Well, that's a really interesting standings right there. And you can't really argue with the way that Milwaukee has played lately, that they have earned themselves that kind of respect within the rankings.
Yeah, they don't get anything for being number one. So we don't have any kind of a prize closet.
That they earned your respect like that, that's rewarding itself, Kevin. That's all you have to say about something like that, boy.
Well, you know, I've got, old baseball cards in my basement I'm doing nothing with, so if someone from the Milkman want to come over next time they're heading to St. Paul and just kind of want to rummage through some stuff, you know, maybe I'll part with some souvenirs. I got some old giveaways from other ballparks, and, you know, it's always good to kind of thin out the collection on occasion, so maybe they can come over and just kind of pick out their own prizes.
Kevin, what's going on at the 10th inning stretch?
Well, if you pop in and read 10thinningstretch.blogspot.com, I did a story on a more detailed story than what I gave on the show on what the experience is like right now going to a Saints game at CHS Field. And I also did the power rankings there and kind of tied in the power rankings with kind of like the state of the team address for all six American Association teams. So yeah, if you got time, give that a read. That's at 10thinningstretch.blogspot.com.
That's a good timely thing right now because we're at about the halfway point of the American Association season. Actually hit halfway last Friday, so good read out there to go check out. So everybody check it out there. Kevin, so we're closing up here for tonight, so give us an incredible Kevin Lucco final thoughts.
My final thought this week, this is something that just really burned me yesterday. The general thought here is, stand by what you say. Own up to what you say. In Minnesota, the governor here, during the 2017 campaign, referred to rural Minnesota as just a bunch of rocks and cows. Like, we don't matter. We're just rocks and cows. Well, yesterday, video surfaced of a man holding a sign that said, Tim Walz is a weasel, and he had a mask on. And Walz was visiting an outstate Minnesota town, and the guy just flat out walked up to him and said, well, you're not welcome here. You think we're just all rocks and cows. And Tim Walz just flat out lied to the guy and said, that is made up. He has nothing but respect for outstate Minnesota. He never said anything like that, and matter of fact, he criticized the person that said it. Well, you can go on YouTube and find the exact video where Tim Walz called outstate Minnesota rocks and cows. So he was caught on video, just flat out lying, did not own up to anything he said. So whether you're right or wrong, be a man of your word, and stand up for what you say, and take responsibility. Be a man.
I'm 100% behind that, because I am tired of, that's not what I said. We can see it on video. Don't tell me that's not what you said. Oh, I'm with you, Kevin. Well, we want to give that as a good message for people out there. And over this next week, before we come up with our next show for next time, we expect people out there to go and stand by their word and have some integrity.
Well, look at it this way, Rob. You could have went back and said, you never said that Sioux Falls was going to end up ahead of Kansas City last year.
I think it's funny. I have no problem with being critical of myself about my picks. And I, to be honest with you, this has become kind of the yearly joke here on This Week in the Association about who we hexed, you know, kind of thing.
We don't go back and say, well, we never said that.
Yeah, exactly.
We own up to it.
Exactly right. When I have been critical of things that have gone on in the league or gone on in sports in general or whatever, I'll stand by that. You know, if I'm wrong later on, I'll happily say I was wrong. You know, that's not a problem. I have never claimed to be perfect and will never claim such a thing because I continuously fall down. But
How many times I've gone back and read my blog and saw stuff and they're like, oh, that was a stupid thing to say.
Well, I know exactly what you're talking about there, I could say that in the last 5 years, you know, there's things that I was, you know, pretty sure I knew what I was talking about and had to go, wow, I never really thought about that before. And so, you know, I'm okay with learning things there. What do they say? When you stop learning, you die. So if I have it all down right, then I must be dead already. So I don't want to be at that point. So I think that's a good message to have out there. And I wish that politicians and people in authority positions would listen to that better because it's irritating, Kevin.
Yes, yes. And such a bad example except for the youth of America, too.
For anybody. I couldn't, and especially our baseball community out there. Well, we want to thank Brad Allred for joining us again this week. For Kevin Luco, I'm Rob Panier, and we will see you next week on This Week in the Association.